One of the pillars of the Catholic faith is that everything that God creates is good. Many, many millennia ago, in the prehistory of the human race, this was handed down from generation to generation until about 8 or 9 centuries, 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, the book of Genesis was written. And God is quoted and looking at what he has created and calling everything good. Now that's a great topic for a classroom sometime that we might pick up. But keep that in the back of your mind as I talk about two metaphors today, or more precisely one metaphor that we have given to us in St. Matthew's Gospel. And I'm not talking about light. That gets beat to death, doesn't it? We all have this song about light or that song about light, so much so that we think that the light is ourselves. In reality, all we are doing is reflecting the light of Christ. But I want to speak today on the metaphor of salt for two reasons. The first is it doesn't get preached about very much, which means that I don't have a lot of competition out there that you will compare me with. And the second reason is, at our Novena service this afternoon, Father Barnett will bless salt for distribution to those who attend the Novena for use as a sacramental. Now, when Jesus is quoted by St. Matthew as referring to his followers as the salt of the earth, that was a metaphor that they were very familiar with. It wasn't that they were thinking about Morton salt, iodized salt, kosher salt, sea salt, grinding salt, or whatever other type of salt you might want to have. One of the things that came to mind was that salt had an intrinsic value for them in their society. The Latin word for salt is sal, S-A-L, that just dropped the T. And from that, we get our English word salary, that the Roman legions at that time, the soldiers of the emperor, were paid in salt. And salt had a value. It could be used as a medium of exchange. It was especially good at preserving food. And so if a soldier were to come across, say, a tasty little raccoon or something that he couldn't finish at one sitting, he would use some of his salt to preserve the meat for a while. In fact, one of the qualities of salt is that it does preserve. In addition to animating taste, it also preserves food so that it can be used into the future. And these are experienced with that, you know, as bacon and ham, that type of thing. But the Romans and the people living in Palestine at the time that Jesus spoke these words were deeply familiar with the purification powers of salt and the preservation powers of salt. And so they understood when Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth," he says, "You are the ones who are going to preserve the human race from the corruption that exists in the world. You are going to be the preserving agent of the truth, the preserving agent of the good news of salvation in a world that doesn't want to hear the gospel." Now that is a significant charge, isn't it? And then he goes on to explain to the people who heard him, that they had to keep connected with him in order that their salt would have power to bring about this preservation. That the salt needed a connection with Jesus Christ in order to do its work. Just as we are the light of the world, or the people of that time were light of the world in the sense of a mirror of the light of Christ, so it is, as salt of the earth, Jesus' followers preserve the world from corruption because of Christ's power. Now there is a nice bit of biblical spirituality to chew on. But I want to go on now to another idea, and that is the idea of a sacramental. Not a sacrament, but a sacramental. Remember your old catechism? A sacramental leads us to the sacraments. Now, we all know, of course, that a sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. And so when we see water in the baptismal font at the door of the church or in the fonts at the side doors of the church, we remember that water has the power to bring grace into the soul when it is combined with the words of baptism. God, as it were, endows the water with the power to wash away original sin. Now, a sacramental leads us to the sacraments. And so when we note that there is holy water here in the church, we are led to remind ourselves of our baptisms. When we see bread and wine being brought up at the beginning of the liturgy of the Eucharist, we are forced to call to mind the fact that that bread and wine are offered to God and during the offering become the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord, and thus the sacrifice of the Mass is effected, which is the continuation of the sacrifice of the cross. In a few moments, I will pray that God will send his angel from heaven to take the bread and wine from this altar, now the body and blood of Christ, and raise it to his altar in heaven where the cross is being offered in sacrifice. And so we come then to salt. Salt receives its preservation power from corruption in natural affairs from its chemical properties. But when it is blessed by a public blessing of the church, when it is blessed in a liturgical setting, as it will be this afternoon, salt then achieves the power to preserve the world from corruption. It is Christ operating through the church that gives the salt the power to preserve the world from corruption, to help the church fight against sin, to help the church fight against the demons of the world that exist for the destruction of our souls, and reminds us of the power that the church has and the charge that the church has, the charge that we have as salt of the earth to preserve the world from the power and the corruption of evil. And that is the power of salt. In the extraordinary rite of baptism, we find several prayers of exorcism before an infant is baptized. And one of those prayers involves the use of blessed salt to protect the baby from the corruption of Satan. In our current missal, the 2002 missile, which we use, occasionally we have the option of sprinkling a congregation with holy water. And with that also is an optional prayer for the blessing of salt, which is added to that water. And so Father Barnett will ask you this afternoon to take the salt that he will bless and use it to guard your doorsteps, to guard your children, and to guard yourselves. And see how that salt then leads us to remind ourselves that we are the salt of the earth, that we are the ones charged with the preservation of the good news of Jesus Christ, that salvation has come into the world, and that we then live in the age of grace.